Minnesota basketball fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. Not Purple People Eaters, I almost said it, but Timberwolves and Gophers edition. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And you wonder why we call our Minnesota sports podcast Living in Loserville. Sure, we get some heat from time to time in the Facebook comments or people just saying it, but I mean, are we that off? You know, we're not even this big ranting podcast. You know, I think a lot of people just think it is just a negative podcast based off the name. But here we go again. We really thought that we were going to have a double win tonight. It looked great against Maryland. Of course, like I said, welcome back. I'm Chris Carlson, Aaron Miller. My co-host will be joining us very shortly. You know, the Timberwolves pull off a great win without Cat. You don't even know how many wins we're going to get with Cat this year, but especially without Cat. D'Lo blocks Butler, which is just kind of fun to say. At the end of the game, they get this big win. We have plenty of positivity, even though they've been losing. We have some positivity from the players that we're moving forward with, Timberwolves-wise, but we couldn't get the second win. The Gophers drop another close game. Choke away, I should say. They choked another. That's going to be the title. Gophers choke another one. And you know, we just don't deserve to be in the big dance. I mean, hell, if we can't get above 500, we may not even be in the NIT, for Christ's sake. Hey, my co-host was like, so when are we going to start breaking down the NIT season here, the seeding, because it just sucks, man. It really sucks to play that great for so long and then free throws missed. Not even being able to put the ball into the court. Big problems. We got lucky on that last one. It looked like Carr had touched it, but not, I mean, when I say lucky, not really. Because, you know, of course, Maryland hit the three to go up. You could sit there and scream for maybe a foul on Arturo. That's fine. Patino was. He was. But, you know, it shouldn't even came down to that. About a handful of times, I almost text my co-host, all right, dude, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to Skype you. We're going to get this podcast a bunch of times. And then I had to delete it and be like, hey, can we get the ball in? This one hurts. This one freaking hurts, no doubt about it. And locally, the media has definitely been putting pressure on Patino. This isn't going to, you know, help, that's for sure. It does seem like, you know, NIT bound. But like I said, we still got our work cut out for us, unfortunately, because I'm not sure if they let below 500 teams in. I mean, we'll actually get a decent seed if we get in. But, yeah, we're going to talk all about this game and recap it. We're not going to spend, you know, 50 minutes on it, I'll tell you that. But then we'll talk about some bright spots, whether it's Beasley, Hernan Gomez, the backup point guard, backup shooting guard for the Timberwolves. I'm speaking of, they got a great win tonight. So we're definitely going to talk both Gophers and Timberwolves like we do on the Living in Loserville podcast. But if this is your first time listening to it, the Living in Loserville podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. So it streams live at archives. However, if you want to listen to this podcast, you don't have to just listen to it on Blog Talk. You can find it under the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Player FM, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really all across the board, including the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found all across the board, which includes Spotify as well. You can use your Siri, Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find each platform. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? It's basketball, it's football, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. That's thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. And one more thing before we get into this debacle, I guess you could call it. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you cut the cord and you're not quite happy, you need some sort of package, try AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They have a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract that'll tie you down. The plans start as low as $60 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. It's called AT&T TV Now. Now, if your internet is poor, it just sucks. Like, whether it's the region you live in, a lot of folks in the outskirts have poor internet. I can definitely feel you on that one. You can try AT&T TV. Okay, that's the normal one. Okay, that's the normal streaming, or not the streaming side. That's just the normal cable. It's an up and coming. It's expanding. It's here in Minneapolis, parts of Florida, New York, California, Texas, all the way up to Seattle in the Northwest, here in Topeka, in St. Louis in the Midwest as well. That's AT&T TV. That's the normal cable that you're looking for. But if you're looking for that live streaming cable and you have the right internet, do it. AT&T TV Now. Okay, okay. Well, oh, well, oh, well. Here we are. Here we are. Another one in the books and another choke job by the Gophers. I mean, this one, it's tough. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host before we start breaking this game down. How are you doing on a Wednesday night that seemed like we were going to get a double jeopardy as far as our Minnesota clubs winning on the same night?
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? I mean, we're up at 16 at the half. I'm riding high thinking, you know, sending you texts saying, we're back on the bubble, back on the bubble. But no, we were not back on the bubble. And it, you know, that would have put us there, I think, a win over a number nine team and, you know, build a lot of confidence. But it's just, you know, it goes back to free throws, man. And we little text exchange about that. It's killed us all season. And it really was glaring this. So, I mean, again, Minnesota sports on display, choke job and second half. The Gophers just didn't play well. It looked like they tightened up a little bit. And, you know, that's what happens, lose by one.
Yeah, I mean, that is what happens, that's for sure. And just to look at that, 11 of 18, but probably missed a good four or five down the stretch, whereas Maryland was 18 of 22. So they hit a fair amount of threes and whatnot. They shot the ball very well. They owned the paint for a chunk of that game because their big man was out. But just kind of breaking down the game in chunks, you know, they got off to a really good lead, 13-4, 4-for-4 from threes. We've been talking about Inyan, the freshman. He's been looking good, the long, lanky freshman. He hit two threes really early on. Arturo had back-to-back buckets. One of them was a three, which he's been hitting the last couple of games, actually the last two games especially. 18-6, 5-6 from three. We're only 6 minutes into this thing, and you're like, here we go. And to add to it, Jalen Smith got their big center who's just been tearing everybody up. He got into early foul problems. And then Inyan went 3-for-3. It's 21-8. Everything's looking great. You know, a few turnovers kind of allowed them to get back in the game a little bit, but they stretched it to 30-19 with 5 minutes left. Seven threes at that point. And for some reason, they brought Jalen Smith in because they were just dominating in the post with Arturo and just driving to the lane. They bring him in, and he picked up a third foul. He was done for quite some time then after that. Carr had, Arturo and Carr had 15 points, four assists for Carr at the halftime mark. And like I said, they were just eating him up at the paint. It was 47-31 at the half. And, you know, you knew they were going to make a run, obviously. It's baseball or baseball. It's back. I can't even talk. It's basketball. It's a game of runs. I felt like there were some early turnovers. There was like a mini run that went like 5 or 6 in O, something like that. It kind of looked like they were going to get in the game early, forcing threes with the Gophers as well. But then they settled down, started hitting shots back, and then I even put this welcome to the game offensively, Gabe Kelscher. Because Kelscher, I'll tell you what, on that point guard and shooting guards as well, he was doing a great job on Conwin. He was doing a really good job. So I got to give him some credit there. He's had a really rough season shooting, which he was our shooter, but he's been playing great defense, and he did in this game. And he, like I said, he finally hit a three, And this is like, I don't know, 4-5 minutes in to the second half. It's 54 to 38. And I felt pretty good. You did see the Terps kind of chipping away at the lead. That's not really that big of a deal. They got it to like 59-48 with 12 minutes. You had Smith, you know, I think he went on like 10 of 12 points for them, 64 to 55. Still got a nice lead, 7:41, but both teams kind of went into miss mode, and it got a little ugly that way. Then, though, the Terrapins, they were not in miss mode any longer. They went on a 10-0 run. It's 64 to 60. And then it's just like, yeah, dude, we're gonna lose this one. It's over. But a big bucket though by Atura, spin move down the lane, back to back turn, and that, you know, gave him like a 6-point lead. But then back to back turnovers kind of shrunk the lead. It was just back and forth. Then Gabe, all of a sudden out of nowhere, hit a three, then another three, and then the struggles at the free throws begin. Or at least started to pay dividends for them. You know, we had one and ones, a couple of them, and whether it was Arturo, whether it was Carr, whether it was Gabe, just missing free throws. We couldn't get the damn ball in, which you got to be able to do to run the offense. It's a pretty basic thing. And before you know it, it's now a really close game. And, yeah, couldn't get the ball in. And missed some free throws. Like I said, 73 to 69 with 40 seconds left. Just ugly ball after that. There's a foul. There's a missed free throw. There's a foul. There's a missed free throw. Jalen Smith gets a putback dunk with 18 seconds left. Gabe misses a free throw. And wouldn't you know it, Daryl Morcel hits a three with not much time left. And, that's a wrap for the big dance for the Gophers this season, buddy.
Yeah, nice breakdown there. Yeah, I mean, it's in your hands. You know, you had the tournament basically there. A nice schedule. Well, I wouldn't say nice, but a better favorable schedule after Maryland, to maybe add to a win that would have been there. And you're kind of back in the game again. All in your hands, up 16 at the half, couldn't close it out again. And that's been something that's bothered us all year, just the inability to close out games at the end. Now, I don't know if that's because you don't have a dominant player to turn to close out the game, which is a possibility. I mean, Arturo's played awfully well this season, and Carr seems like a kind of player that could do that. But I think you need that third player, and Willis just hasn't been able to step up and be that third, kind of wheel to help you close out games. And, you know, that's really a second part of the issue. It's really just been, free throw shooting and you missing front ends of one and ones and not taking advantages of opportunities to close out games has really been the problem. And we've been harping on that the last few weeks, and it just keeps showing up. And I don't know if that's nerves. Obviously, these guys shoot enough free throws than they have in their lifetime. And it seems to be a home problem. It seems to be a road problem. It seems to be just you don't want to call it the yips, but man, it's just kind of reoccurred all season where you've been in a position to win the game if you make the free throws coming down the stretch, which should be a given for a Big Ten team. And we just haven't been able to do that. And you feel like it's not exactly the players, because in the first half, they can make those free throws. It's that coming down the stretch when it counts, making those free throws. And that's going to keep you out of the tournament this season, unfortunately. And you're up in flux for the next few seasons about who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. Got some good recruits coming in. But, you got to be able to make those free throws. And we think we're frustrated. I'm sure Patino is just endlessly frustrated about this. I mean, I don't think it could cost him his job, but it possibly could. And over some things like missed free throws and not being able to close out games, it's not really his fault, I think, in that situation. The guys just can't put in free throws at the end of the game. And, puts him on the hot seat, which I think is pretty undeserved. I think he's done well under the circumstances here. And I really don't think he'll be moving on or be made to move on. But that's a topic we can definitely get into. I just feel like You know, these guys got to make their free throws, got to close games. It can't be, you know, this Loserville stuff that we've been dealing with. And, you know, you do miss Amir Coffey. You do miss Jordan Murphy. You're a little young, but, you know, I can't make a lot of excuses for simple missed free throws coming down the stretch of games.
Well, and also shot selection, turnovers. I will say this, coaching-wise, there are some times where it does feel like we minorly get out-coached or just can't get a good shot up or maybe some in-game adjustments. Or I guess the biggest complaint for Pitino would be shooting. Not even three-point shooting, just shooting in general. Sure, these last two games they've definitely improved, but that's what it is. It's either all or none. And that is one thing that has plagued his team since he's been here is shooting. It's been a struggle, no doubt about that. But overall, and by the way, that's the fifth time Maryland this year has come back from behind 10-point deficit. They did it down 15 against Illinois, down 15 at Northwestern, down 14 at Illinois, at Michigan State. I just saw this game not long ago, and they were trailing by 17 tonight at some point in the game. So Maryland is the real deal if you didn't know that, but now you do. They've really, really done well with that. But, yeah, back to Pitino. I'd say just the shooting woes in general where you're just like, I'm not even talking about three. I'm just talking about field goals. And free throws, I mean, that's a combination. Yeah, that's not necessarily his fault. You got to make the shots. But sometimes we don't get our possessions down the stretch do have something to do with him either sketching one up or calling it out. And, of course, the player has something to do with it, especially turnovers. It's not like he's out there turning the ball over. It's really come from a local media perspective. And I think it is a knee-jerk prisoner of the moment, and especially in a game like this. But, no, I agree. I mean, we're 1 year removed from a second round, you know, in a team that pretty much overachieved last year down the stretch. Not long at, you know, a couple years back, if we did have those major injuries and in a suspension, that was a Sweet 16 team, minimum. I believe that. So he's built a team that can go someplace. And if you look at this club right here, Arturo would be great to have him back. He better stop with these outside threes or he's going to turn himself in to a stretch four that we were talking about a couple of shows ago, Aaron. He better calm down on that because it's going to be like Amir last year where he started hitting threes where he couldn't hit threes. And then, you know, I was going to say it got him drafted, but he didn't get drafted, unfortunately. Maybe on a night like tonight, Amir Coffey, you said that third guy, maybe tonight Amir would have been like, move over, I'm going to the rack. You're not going to stop me. I'm just going to do what's right. And so, yeah, I agree, though, with you. I don't think we should can him. I think it's so easy to say, you know, oh, we need another coach. Oh, we need another coach. We're starting to hear this. We should remodel Williams Arena. No, actually, let's tear it down. This is what's been going on local media. Let's tear it down and come up with a new arena now. It's like, guys, that's not why we're losing these games. Like, that's just a cop-out, and plus, you got to raise money for that. That's not even a given thing. You know, it doesn't line up. It doesn't line up. I think he's done a really solid job recruiting. Has he had some Minnesota misses? Sure, we do see some other guys, not the big five-star guys that are going to go to Duke. We're not talking about that. There is some layers under there that he missed on some guys, but he's also hit, and you're not going to just recruit an all Minnesota team. That's not how it goes, and sometimes the fit could work in other places and not here. So, yeah, has he missed some Minnesota kids? Yeah, I'd agree with that, but he's had a nice little run, I'd say, and considering what we had before him, I think you got to keep that all in perspective. I would keep him around at least till next year, obviously, for sure, because I really think this club next year is really young, and it's going to be good. We got, you know, two top 100 recruits coming in, and you never know what recruit could be out there if Arturo does decide to go. You know, we could get maybe a pretty damn good center. So I like it's young. We're missing pieces. You know, we thought we'd have Amir. We've been saying it all year. We did think we had Amir, and he would be so clutch in the early going, so we wouldn't even be hovering around 500. And now in the late goings of these games, it's been rough, man. Anything else, Minnesota Timberwolves? Or sorry, Minnesota. You can see where I want to go. Anything else, Gopher oriented there, sir?
Well, I mean, you're right about Amir Coffey. I mean, this was the start of the season last year where he really asserted himself, especially coming down the stretch in games, and it got us some good wins late in the season and into the Big Ten tournament, which is, you know, mostly what we're missing at this point. And, you know, about Daniel, he playing himself in the NBA, you know, I guess that's what he's there to do. But with what we've got coming in and the foundation that's here, it's young, but it's here. You'd like to see him being a part of what's coming, what's to come next year. And also, you know, Gabe's shot well. He's been streaky this season. And he did bring up a good point about, you know, getting guys in positions for shots, drawing up things at the end. I mean, Pitino's still a relatively young coach, but now he's in his seventh season here at the U. But he came fresh out of nothing, basically, at assistant coaching and then a year at FIU, and then got hired by old Norwood Teague to come up here, which was probably the best hire Teague made in his short tenure. And, you know, he's been consistency of the club's been a little bit up and down. Recruiting here can't be the easiest thing, but we have the facilities now in place, which I think has helped him out a lot, and we're beginning to see the fruits of that labor with the class that's coming in next year. But I think that's sort of the linchpin there of what's going to be the future of the program is if Arturo stays. I think he should. Obviously, that's a selfish view of me. Looking at what's coming in with Mashburn and the other kids coming in, and what you already have could be a really powerful club barring injury next season. And to go ahead and mess that up and even further jack with the continuity of this program is not the right thing to do at this time. And you want to renovate Williams, that's fine. I think a lot of it just has to do with everybody else has a new stadium or a new complex or a new something in this town, right, except for Gopher basketball. And so I could see where the point would be, okay, well, it's time to renovate the barn. I'd rather renovate it than tear it down. I mean, if
there's
that's at all
possible.
There's not
much more they can do to it because they already renovated it. You know what I mean? You literally have to tear it down. I just don't think that's the problem. Like, man, if we could only get some good recruits up here if we had an arena. You know what I mean? I just think that's a cop-out.
Yeah, I'd agree with that if you're going to go with that angle. But also, it's probably a pretty run-down building at this point in time. And I guess you're right. They have done all they can with it. So if you're going to do something new, you should probably tear it down and start something new. But then what do you do in the interim? They play at Williams and they build something else? I mean, that's another two-year maybe project, and that's fine, but that's not going to help recruiting with, you know, tearing this down or that down or building this up. I guess it wouldn't really be that big of a problem if you're going to start a whole new location, but any kind of renovation could be a problem. And that's just a side effect. That's really not the issue. The issue is closing out games, and it's been a struggle this season. And I think anything, including firing Pitino or new stadium or all that stuff, is just a knee-jerk reaction to not being able to close out games this season. And like I said, we're a young squad. We keep Oturu next season, cross our fingers, and it's going to be a pretty nice ball club next season. And hate to look ahead so quickly, but if you keep your eye on what's coming up, I think you have a little hope for optimism on that standpoint.
Yeah, I think a whole lot. And, you know, maybe young Daniel's going to look and go, well, I couldn't even get my club into the big dance. And maybe I got some things to worry about. Maybe, you know, he did kind of quiet up once Smith got back in the ball game. He was dominant early. Now, he made a couple of that spin move was pretty. He made some good moves. I'm not ripping him by any stretch. But there's been more than one time that he's gotten minorly bullied down low. And there is the center might be leaving the game in general. But I'll tell you what, not in the Big Ten. There's a lot of centers. So we're on the same page. And plus, where are we going to get this money? So we're having problems like getting excitement right now this year. So where are we going to get this money to build the arena? You know what I mean? Like it just seems like a lost cause. Well, not a lost cause. That's a bad way to put it, but let's.
No, but speaking of lost causes, I mean, Patino's been saying it a lot, and I just don't think it sinks in. But I think coming down the stretch of the season, you start to realize that the loss of Eric Curry and, you know, his injury-prone career has really put his mark on this program, and maybe not in the most positive of ways. When he plays, he's really effective, and he's a piece that we're missing in this puzzle this season as far as a little help for Daniel down low, or maybe even a chance for him to further show off a stretch four type of ability without him. So I think he's a big loss that we just have to continue to remember. At some point, though, we've got to say, you know, well, you know, we got to fish or cut bait with Curry, because, you know, we'll get six games one season, out for another season. I mean, at this rate, he'll be a 26-year-old senior.
Yeah, no doubt about it. On to the Wolves, though. They got themselves a big win. We're going to get into a couple of positives. Yes, I said it. Minnesota basketball this year hasn't had that many positives, but we do. We're starting to get some positives, win, lose, or draw, out of the club that we got. These new players, we talked about, you know, who's going to fit, who are we going to, you know, try to keep next year, all that stuff. But this game at Miami, the Wolves trailed by 11 with 3:21 left. They finished on a 17-3 run to beat the Heat, 129-126. And D'Lo, D'Angelo, no, not that R&B singer, but our guy up here up north, he blocked Jimmy Buckets down the stretch, denied it. But, I mean, the win snapped a fair amount of stuff. A five-game losing streak, excuse me, a nine-game road losing streak, 13 games in a row where we, you know, we were losing in crunch time, like we didn't just show up. 20 different games in a row where the opponent was shooting 50% or above, and 28 that we had trailed by 10 and not won. So that is a lot of positives. I'm trying to, you know, get some positivity in this one. There's only been the Lakers, the Clippers, the Celtics, and now, that's right, our Minnesota Timberwolves that have won in Miami this year. They've been a tough club at home, no doubt about it. You know, really, Beasley and Hernan Gomez have been really impressive of late. I mean, ever since they got here, you know, I could go over the stats, like the amount of threes they've hit in the first five games with the Timberwolves, but we know that's a skewed stat now, especially with our system where we just jack them up. But even tonight, D'Lo, you know, Russell, 7 threes tonight. 27 points, 6 assists, only had a couple of turnovers. One of them I could, you know, come to mind right now. It wasn't even his fault. You had Beasley had 21. Hernan Gomez had 17 and 5. He needs to get more strength on him, obviously. I think he's 215 or 217. He's got some decent length, that's for sure. Really good length, but, and we know how, you know, length in sports today. Wow, we could spend a whole segment on it, or actually a whole podcast on it. I thought Naz Reid gave us some pretty good moments. But our backup point guard and Martin, these two are going to stick. They're really going to glue, man. But the last chunk of games, so it's just nice to, you know, get off the schneid and win a game and just keep some energy going. Before we get into any positives or negatives or whatever from the last couple of games, real quick, let's talk about Cat. Now, Cat has a wrist injury. It is legit. We're not just tanking or whatever, but they say he's going to be out right around 2 weeks or so, something like that. Do you, you know, let him just sit and kind of milk it and tank it, right? Or do you bring Cat back in, because why not? He's your squad, you know, you're playing a lot of money for him. You might as well. Not only that, but it's, we got to see the matches, the mix and matches with all these players. And we haven't even had D'Angelo and Cat on the floor for more than 25 minutes so far because of Cat's injury. What do you think? Some people are like, just rest Cat for the rest of the year. We're still in February. The games go till mid-April. I'm just not in favor of that. I think this is actually going to be key for next year to find out where the pieces fit around Cat.
Oh, wow, that's a really good question. You know, half of me says, yeah, sit him and, you know, go ahead and let your stock go up in the lottery if you can. I mean, that's a general idea of that. But the other half is, right, get the gel. I think maybe you can do both a little bit. You know, he comes back from his injury, but then it's really not fair to D'Angelo to put him out there. I think maybe if they're both healthy, you maybe alternate them in the games. Because, I mean, at this point of the season, you're not really playing for anything. You just kind of want to find who's going to be there, what do you like there, you know, what do you like with your role players, who's going to be what, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you take a little wear off the tire with Cat, let him sit down a little bit, and, you know, maybe D'Angelo one night, Cat another night, and see what you can get in the lottery. I mean, that, to me, sounds kind of logical at this point, although it's not going to sell tickets, but you're not really selling tickets anyway. So, I mean, you need to figure out what you're going to do there. I guess if I had to give you an answer straight up, I'd say, yeah, I'd say play him, you know, two games with Cat and D'Angelo, then one with Cat, one, you know, be sporadic with it and make sure they both get rested and not injured and try to get through this season. You don't want to win a lot of games if that's what you want to do, so that'd be conducive to doing that. But, you know, you also want to see who's competitive and who's not and who plays well together and what can you do together. So I see that side of the coin as well. And yeah, I guess if it were me and I was in charge of it, I'd say, you know, give them both extended breaks coming down the stretch of the season and just try to keep them both fresh and then really work on the gelling and the other stuff in the off season and in preseason next season and try to avoid any more injuries, which they're starting to pile up on Cat a little bit. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, ankle, knee, wrist, you know, it's 2 weeks out here, 2 weeks out there. It's kind of been that way throughout a season, but it seems like an accumulation of that this season. So it's a little bit concerning, but yeah, I mean, this season's shot. I mean, you're 16 and whatever right now. You're not going to make the playoffs. The best thing you can hope for is a draft with really no names in it at all. There's no Ja Morant this year. There's no Zion Williamson this year. There's no clear-cut guy who's, you know, everybody's going to tank for. But it is nice to see if you can get in the higher part of that lottery and have your pick of what is there.
Well, I mean, we're going to be in that higher part of the top five anyway, but you are right. That kind of makes my point for me, too, that the fact there isn't a Zion, there isn't a Ja. So why not try to, like, I'd agree with maybe 32 minutes or 30 minutes on Cat or whatever, but I think that we can work on a lot of stuff in the off season and the preseason, but, you know, everybody says in game, especially if you're developing players, in game is actually when you're going to learn the most. So I kind of want to get that pick and roll, pick and pop, two-man game with them going. And here it is. And by the way, you shortchanged us. We got 17 wins now, okay? 17 and 40, dude. We're only 27 and a half points out. I mean, it's really not that far out. But here we go. So we got New York, Cleveland, Atlanta, and us with 17 wins, all of us, right? We got one less loss, though. So that means we got one more game than them. And Golden State's at 12. So we're going to stay within that range. There's a 19 and a 20, couple of 20s. So – you know, the West, I mean, Phoenix is seven games above us, so they're not going to catch us. So I really think we should play, though. I really think we should play through this. And I agree as far as, like, limiting him to an extent, Cat, because that's a good point you made about, you know, there are some stuff piling up. But I just want to see it on the court more. And not only that, but some of this stuff, when there's no Cat, and then some of these guys get extended minutes, but they're getting, like, starter minutes, and they're maybe not a starter. It's like a lot of guys, if you give them shots in this league, can get to 15 and 20 points. So sometimes that can be a little blinding, too. You know, empty points is the Minnesota Timberwolves way with Kevin Love and Cat so far in his career, unfortunately. We've had plenty of those guys, but you know, I don't know. But what I do know is D'Angelo Russell has been playing really solid. And he's getting a lot of his buckets, like, on his own. Like, he can really create a shot. He's still passing the ball as well. He's knocking him down. He's got that, the swagger that we talked about. So I definitely like what I see as far as him. I just would like that fit, but Beasley and to a lesser extent, minorly with Hernan Gomez, the more games that go by, I just love it. And I think Beasley, that backcourt of Beasley and D'Angelo is going to be solid for years to come. And I just love Beasley's, like, demeanor and the fact that every time he got in for extended minutes or extended games with Denver because of injury, because, like I said, the three guys in front of him were damn good players, he really played well, and he's delivering for us here. He's got this energy about him. He plays pretty good defense. I think he can, you know, get better. He's only 24. But that backcourt, I'm loving. And this Beasley dude, it really sounds like just the Knicks and a couple of teams are going to have money. And I hope nobody, like, throws the whole freaking, you know, $24 million a year at him or something like that, because I think we can get him for good starter money, which is, like, right in the 12, 14, 15 a year range. That's starter money. I'm loving this Beasley kid, dude. He's got energy. He's athletic. And, obviously, he can knock him down.
Yeah, I like them both. I like Hernan Gomez as a role player. I like Beasley as the two. I like Culver a lot. I like Hernan Gomez. And Culver's been kind of lost in the mix here, which kind of leads me to believe, sort of down your line of thought, is that, you know, maybe you get as few wins as you can, a race to the bottom, so to speak, and then you go and turn that capital and maybe Culver into something for Booker, which seems to be the target in the off season if we can. I'm sure you're up to his contract situation and how plausible that really is, but, you know, get a nice piece of draft capital. You got a couple players to work with to get Phoenix maybe on the phone and get Booker up here as well. Now, I don't really know a lot about Booker except for that he's kind of in that pact with Kat and D'Angelo. And I love D'Angelo, man. I've watched him the last few games. And you're right, he gets his own shot. He's smooth. He can take the three. He takes it ruthlessly. Saw really good assists. When he's up, he plays good defense. He's got the swagger. I'm really impressed by him, just watching him now that he's been in town. And, you know, you put him with Kat, get some defenders. You got Beasley, Hernan Gomez, and you whatever you might get in the draft, or if you can get Booker up here. I mean, now you're starting to talk about a team that can do something in a very tough Western Conference. And if you got Golden State in that race for that number one pick, I mean, that seems almost unfair. I mean, yeah, they had a terrible season because Curry's out and all those other guys are out, but, you know, they'll be back next season. You put a top pick in there as well with Wiggins and all that stuff they got going on. They might be back on top quicker than you think, and that might be the idea for them. But, yeah, I mean, the West is still tough, and if you can get the three-headed monster with those three, Booker, Kat, and D'Angelo, I like that. Yeah, I don't want to give up too much of what we've seen with, you know, but maybe Beasley's a chip in that, a sign and trade or something like that. But, you know, would you be hurt by the loss of Beasley if you can get Booker up here?
Well, I mean, I think he would be he'd be involved just financially as well, because he'll get an upgrade in his pay. And maybe that would be part of, hey, we got Beasley for a couple of years, and maybe we would sign him and then trade him, or it would be a sign and trade type of thing. I think you're right about Culver. Both those guys are expendable if he's coming up here. And it does seem like they are kind of going that way. And you want to talk like offensive juggernaut. I know I use that word a lot, but that would be pretty sick. And Booker can get it a couple of different ways too, as far as his. And he's a big shot maker. And, you know, then it's just like, all right, let's just get defensive guys then. And then we could start to talk about a guy like, you know, Keylon Martin, who's been playing real solid. He's kind of put together, kind of long and lanky, go figure. He's a good player. And then Sarah McLachlan. I'm sorry, it's not Sarah. That's bullshit. I shouldn't say that. But that dude, I mean, he hit a great bucket tonight driving to the lane. Like, that's a great backup point guard. And he defends his butt off. you know, that's what it would be, these role players. But I think you're right. Beasley would definitely have to be in there. And then Culliver could go someplace where he'd have the ball in his hand a lot more, because he has responded pretty nicely if that's the case. And maybe, and then, you know, some first round picks, obviously, too. We're not going to get Booker for a couple of nice pieces for the future. You know what I mean? We're going to have to give some first round picks. And, you know, we do have some of that available, obviously, next year. Not this draft, but next draft, we can't be in the bottom three. If we're in the bottom three, that is not our pick. That would go to Golden State, which I don't think it will. Then it folds over the next year, so three drafts away. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit more about that as we close down, you know, the show in a hand, like 6 weeks or whatever. I like what I see, man. And if we can't get him up here, obviously that would be a lot of money on the books. And then you would really have to depend on the guys I mentioned, who I really, really like, as far as just role players. And, you know, Okogie would be here too, just playing defense. That's what he does.
Yeah. I mean, and you talk about, like, you know, going back to D'Angelo, I mean, he made the big play tonight to sort of seal the game, block on old Jimmy Buckets. And he seems to have the spark of competitiveness that I guess I can trust in the future, that maybe if he's leading the squad, there won't be a lot of which was my major question. I remember a couple shows ago talking about that. It's like, yeah, you can change the faces, but can you really change the tone of the team and the competitiveness of the team? And I'm starting to believe a little bit more in what D'Angelo can bring with a healthy squad, and you get the right parts around him to make sure that the competition level and, you know, the fire in this team is a consistent thing throughout a season. Now, we haven't seen that since Buckets was here, that one season of them really playing competitive basketball. And, you know, even in the Love era, it was, you know, empty points, like you said. And that's what I fear the most about a team up here. Because we've just seen it so much, but I'm really starting to trust that D'Angelo wouldn't let that happen. He seems to be competitive enough. I mean, I'm just watching that kid just jack threes on people, talking, you know, stepping back four, 6 feet behind the three-point line like he did tonight. Just, you know, just mindlessly throwing one up, going in. It's good to see, and it's been a while since we've had a point guard, if ever. I mean, I don't think Steph even did that much. Steph wasn't really a three-point shooter all that much. He was kind of a drive and dish or a drive the bucket guy.
That's probably
it, assists,
though.
You know?
That is probably it. You're right, because he would do stuff like that where he'd just get off the dribble and then be in Gary Payton's ear all the way down to the other side of the court. That's a good call. That's probably
it was that. Right, and other than that, I mean, stop and pop wasn't that. So, I mean, and those are probably the three top points. Well, Sam Cassell, I mean, what do you say about Sam?
Well, you know,
Sam,
Chauncey, but we had to pay Troy Hudson instead. We had Mr. Big Shot, but we won't get into that on this episode.
Right, right. But, yeah, I mean, so I'm liking what I see going forward. And I think that, you know, whether you select with the draft pick or you use it as capital to get Booker, it doesn't really mean that much to me. If you got to give it up to get Booker, I mean, I would give up a first round pick this season, Culver and Beasley, if I had to. So, I mean, just to get that third star that you need, and then you can start to use pieces of Hernan Gomez and Naz Reid and all those guys that kind of fit into their roles and become what they should become on a would be championship driven team. And it looks like that's kind of what's happening, and I want to see that continue.
Yeah, and with Russell, a lot of people just kind of focus on him his first year or two in L.A., which obviously was a ton of pressure going there with Kobe still on the club, RIP, but, you know, he didn't have a great – he wasn't garbage, but he wasn't putting up just monster numbers early on. And when you don't do that, when you're a top tier pick, you're going to get some, you know, some crap. But when it's LA and Kobe's in your ear, you know, it's going to be bad. You know what I mean? But he made it through that. He improved his game a couple of years ago with the Nets. He was a driving force of why they got to the playoffs. And now, you know, when he get, and I hate to do the nostalgia thing or the I actually believe he wants to be here and all that stuff, but, you know, getting off the plane, Russell when he, you know, landed here and whatnot. A lot of people met him at the plane, and he's just like, this is like a movie to me. Like, I really think that he's thinking, hey, dude, this franchise wants me to be one of the leaders. You know, the only thing is, when he went to L.A., they also brought in Ball and Ball's baggage, right, his pops. You know, they had what's-his-toes that plays for that's an all-star right now for he went to Duke for New Orleans. And they had Kobe. Like, it was hard to, like, stand out there. And I think the pressure got to him a little bit. He didn't play horrible. I think people forget about that, though. At Indiana, though, I loved his – or Ohio State. I loved his triple-double type performances. He was an all-purpose player. There's a reason why he was the second pick behind Cat. So, all in all, I actually think that type of thing, it's kind of like when you get a quarterback, and I'm not trying to put it to Cousins, but, you know, when you get a quarterback or a good-ass player and they get that extension or they get something, you know, they get their contract figured out, and you're like, all right, now I don't have to worry about any of that. The next 4 years, I know I'm going to be here. And I think some of that is that with Russell. He actually has a team now that he can be a leader, and I think he's now more developed mature-wise as well, and he's kind of seen the league for what it is. He's been traded a handful of times now. So I'm with you there. I do like what I'm seeing out of him. And when you see a guy night in, night out, that's when you can really start to judge what kind of player he is. And I think people make that mistake. But he is silky smooth, dude. He does have that old school, I'm not moving that fast, but I'm a damn good dribbler, much lower dribbler than Wiggins. And I'm just going to make the right play, whatever it is. Any last words before we get the hell out of here, sir?
No, you want to say that he's smooth, but he's not like Kenny Anderson smooth. He's kind of got that long strider sort of smooth thing going on, and it's something we haven't seen up here. And I'm really I like that. I like kind of the guys that what's his name? Rosas gets off the scrap heap, yeah, and turns in. I mean, that's really starting to impress me. And I don't know if that's talent coordinating or scouting or what that is, but McLaughlin impresses me, and he was, you know, G-League in it, and Naz Reid, I think, was just really young and still is, and you know, some of those guys that we moved in the trade, it's just really impressive. We can continue to do that as well. I'll just find guys that little diamonds in the rough here and there. I mean, that's what you're going to need to do until you can start attracting real free agents here, which winning will do, but you know, it's impressive. And like, for the first year of this Rosas thing, man, I'm just really encouraged by the changes. There's some are subtle, some are big, yeah, but you start to see it. I was a little dubious in the beginning because I thought, okay, another guy, we're going to try a new blueprint, we're going to do this thing again, and you're not going to see much from it except for one star player who's putting up 28 a night and we're losing every game. But I'm starting to get a little bit more encouraged by the things, the small things and the big things I see that Rosas has done in his short time here.
Yeah, and he had a lot to do with what Houston has done. And, you know, I really like him, man. You can just tell the difference, like you said. And just reiterating what you said, the guys that we got, we only had the free agent market when he first got here to work with, really. We tried and tried and tried to trade. It didn't work. But for him to sign guys that, hey, they weren't the perfect fit or a good fit, some of them, that's true. But you know what? They were good players. And those good players are helping playoff teams right now. But we got equity in return. And that's just basically – and he didn't have much money to spend as it was. And he got quality players. So I'm all on board with this dude. Gerson is the shit in my mind. I really think he is. And maybe it is me overdoing it because we've had the handshake deal with Kevin McHale, and then we had the David Kahns, and, you know, I won't even get into the Chris Webber conversation about Vlade Divac. I won't even get into that they had with him. But I think we got it. We got a good one. And you know, when it comes to, like, Gopher football, okay, what was the problem? Coaching. That's the problem. These are the problems. And behind the scenes, developing a guy, that's, you know, that's what you need to do. And especially if we're to somehow get Booker on the squad, we just money-wise, financial-wise, we'd have to live and die with those guys that can make just a couple mil a year that, you, like you said, you find the diamonds in the rough where they're just solid players. All right, let's get out of here, sir. You're good? You got any last words or anything, buddy?
No, not really at all. I'm still kind of – that question you asked me earlier about, you know, what to do with Cat and when he comes back to sit him or not, now that's kind of sticking in my head, so I'm going to try to figure out – maybe next week I'll give you a more definitive answer on that, because I just don't – you know, I want a high draft pick, but I also don't want to, you know, sit Cat all season. But if you got to sit Cat all season to get the high draft pick, then I guess I'd rather do that. So I'll work it out in my head, come back with a better answer next week.
Another thing is that the draft, the top four spots or top three spots, I think they basically now have the same percentage chances the way they did it. I'm pretty sure that's how it is. So we could sit there and be like, oh, yeah, you know, like we're doing this, and then we get the fourth pick anyway. You know what I mean? So, but, yeah, it is intriguing, you know, and – LaMelo Ball is actually much better than his brother. but I don't know, man. We'll see. But, yeah, let's get out of here, and we'll definitely – actually, I'm trying to Google something really quick. Here we go. So, now forget it. I'm on to something else. Let me just double check here. Yeah, they didn't change. I'm trying to Google what are the odds percentage-wise when those balls are – whatever they do with those balls, we don't know what they actually do with those balls. But I think that they had at the top three now have basically the same percentage chance to get it. But anyway, let's get out of here. That'll do it for the Living in Loserville podcast. Appreciate the listens. It's been a rough one this year watching Minnesota basketball. We understand. Let's hope we can, you know, finish strong for the Timberwolves, the Gophers right now. It's really looking towards next year. Both teams are looking towards next year. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Take it easy. Peace.